With the straight scoop on the Packers from the man who knows them best, it's the Mike McCarthy Show with Larry McCarron, Lance Allen, and the coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy.
And welcome to the Mike McCarthy Show. Larry McCarron is here. I'm Lance Allen, and please welcome the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Mike McCarthy. Mike, I know you went to Arizona to win. I know you play to win, but what an emotional, gutsy performance by your team against the Cardinals.
Definitely a great performance. Gut-wrenching, obviously, the way it ended. You have different weeks of preparation, and we've done this long enough. You have a pretty good finger on the pulse of your football team. You can just feel it during the course of the week. Everything was coming together. So just went in the stadium with a ton of confidence, and you know, our defense got us started there early, you know, was put in some tough field position situations. But, you know, the guys just played their hearts out. We had a number of opportunities to make big plays. We made some of those big plays. A couple of them got away from us. And that's really what these playoff games come down to. You watch them each and every week. You have to make the big plays, particularly the big plays at critical times. And Arizona made one more, you know, big play than we did.
That big play you're talking about, the Fitzgerald play, Mike, from Arizona's perspective, it's kind of a broken play. Carson Palmer is running for his life, rolls out, and just kind of puts one up there. And so in a sense, it is a broken play. But did you feel like you had breakdowns of your own that contributed to the enormity of that play?
Well, I mean, it's a 75-yard play. I mean, and let's be honest with you, they couldn't run the ball against us. Their defense did a great job making it one-dimensional. You know, Larry Fitzgerald's their premier player. They pretty much exclusively were going to Larry pretty much the whole second half. I think he was targeted something like 17 times. So I think you can tell where the commitment of, you know, who the ball was going to. And, you know, frankly, they threw three passes to Larry in overtime and won the game. So, the fact of the matter is, you know, it was a good defensive call. We had good pressure on the quarterback. You know, obviously had a chance to sack him there. He slides out, and that's where you get into that extended play. And that's what pro football is. Aaron Rodgers is the king of it. Carson was able to extend the play long enough. We came out of coverage, and then the true breakdown was the broken tackles. I mean, you can't have missed tackles, particularly at that point in the game. I mean, you got to go in there and make a low tackle and get Larry on the ground.
Mike, I was outside the locker room with our live coverage since the game was on our air, and you know, you watch David Bakhtiari, and he gave it everything he had. He could barely walk to the locker room. So what do you say to the team after the game and then in the final meeting, what you met with them?
Well, I'll tell you what, after the game is just such a, it's something you don't really prepare for. I mean, I don't know how to prepare for that because, I mean, I don't even like think, you know, I don't believe in thinking that way. So, I think it's important to keep your mind clear and positive anytime you're trying to win any football game. So the after the game was difficult. And then really, you know, talking to the team Monday morning, you really just talked about opportunities. You know, it's hard to look at that team and you see those veteran faces. And, you know, and I've stood up here, you know, too many times and you know they're running out of opportunities. And each year that it changes. You know, your team never stays the same. There's going to be people in that room that, you know, weren't there last year. And there's going to be people that are in that room today that are not going to be there. So and that's the tough part. But the fact that you take the time to sit down and talk to each and every player, I think, is so important. And it really is such a benefit, I know, to me and our program, and I hope it is to the players, because the feedback's tremendous. It's extremely positive. But from that, it always generates a conversation or an idea for improvement.
During your season-ending press conference, you mentioned that you're going to maintain the play-calling duties. Can you talk about that a little bit?
That's about as far as I am with it, Larry. I mean, I'm going to call the offense next year. I'm going to be more involved in the offense than I've been in the last 4 or 5 years. I'm going to go back to the early years, 06, 07, 08 type format. So that's the initial thought. And, with that, we got a lot of work to do.
I know you never use injuries as an excuse. You didn't have Jordy Nelson all year. Didn't have Ty Montgomery, obviously, for a good chunk of the season. Devontae Adams couldn't play in this game. Randall Cobb gets hurt during the game. What can you say about the receiver group that you put out there and the plays that they made to keep you in this game?
I mean, it's tremendous. I mean, it's tremendous for any receiver group to pull off what they did, and particularly for young guys doing it really in their first big-time, battle contested type situation, especially a playoff game on the road. So I can't say enough about Jeff Janis. Can't say enough about Jared. And, you know, and James just kept battling, didn't have as many opportunities, you know, as he would like. But, you know, we only had four receivers going in. We felt the extra tight end, just from experience and so forth, was the route to go instead of bringing up one of our practice squad players, just from a, you know, the experience standpoint. And, you know, losing Randall that early was a blow because, you know, frankly, Randall was a primary target for us as far as game planning and playing against all their sub defenses, because their, you know, their sub defenses was the defense we wanted to prepare for. So we had to shift gears, and I can't say enough about our offensive line. They did a tremendous job, just with the you know, the run game and the protection adjustments that we made. I mean, we just went really back to basics and was able to run the ball against their base defense. And I felt that their base run defense was a strength of their defense. So, you know, Eddie had two big runs coming out of there, and we were still able to do some play action things and still take some shots down the field.
Next up, we'll look back at the 2015 Packers season. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show. And welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. Mike, pretty simple question. How do you describe the 2015 season? A lot of adversity, a lot of injuries, a lot of things in this season.
Well, I mean, really from the perspective of, you know, of our locker room and our coaching staff, it was really a football team that had, you know, very good work ethic, loved to get after it and practice, and really had no issues with this team, you know, in that phase of preparation. I would say they were definitely one of the closer groups that we've had here, as far as their, you know, their love and their ability to, you know, do things together outside of football. You just don't see a lot of that like you used to in the old days. So this group was definitely tight-knit. And, yeah, we had a lot of adversity, and we had more than our fair share of injuries. But that's, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. Some years are better than others. But, you know, just the way they always fought, you know, in tough schedule. I mean, that segment of scheduling that we had, you know, it's two different segments of schedule that we have were different than we've ever had. So, I mean, they had to go through a number of different things. And, you know, I just love the fight. And, they definitely gave us a chance to win another championship.
Mike, Aaron Rodgers' numbers were not as good as they have been, but there were obvious extenuating circumstances. How do you look at his season?
I mean, you know, it starts and ends with Aaron on offense. You know, and I think it's important to stay in touch with that. I think, you know, as a football team, we used to feel, you know, there was a sense and the reality of it started and ended with him as the whole team. And that's too much for any one player to bear. That was really the focus in the offseason, to be more of a complete football team where, you know, we were going to be balanced offense, defense, and special teams. I felt like we accomplished that. I thought our defense and special teams made great improvements from last year. So, you know, with that, Aaron had to, you know, handle most of the adversity because most of the, you know, the big challenges were on offense. So I thought he did a very good job with that.
What do you expect out of Eddie Lacy next year? I know it was kind of an up and down year for him, but what do you expect?
I mean, you know, Eddie's commitment obviously has to go way up in the offseason, and he needs to come back here ready to play because, you know, it obviously didn't happen this past year.
Mike, also from your season-ending press conference, you mentioned you see Clay Matthews as ideally an outside linebacker. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I mean, that's his natural position, Clay Matthews, at outside linebacker. I think he's done – I mean, heck, he's going to Pro Bowl as an inside linebacker, so I think that speaks for itself. But, you know, his understanding of the defense, just in our conversations, that experience has been very helpful for him. Plus, he's been a communicator as far as being on the headset, so that brings a whole other level of responsibility, understanding, and interaction with the defense that, you know, it brings out a different temperament to you because, you know, because as an outside linebacker, you're more in a one-on-one game for pretty much the whole game, where inside you're relying on the big guys to be in the right gap, and there's a lot more communication that goes on there. So that whole – all those components has been great for Clay. It's been great for our defense. But at the end of the day, he needs to play outside linebacker, make sure he gets his rushes at the quarterback, and just really use him inside for targeting challenges for the offense.
Overall, you got to be pretty pleased with your defense. Pass rush really got after opposing quarterbacks, and your rookie corners. Every year you get a contribution out of rookies, and I thought the first two picks this year, Rollins and Randall, really played well.
I mean, they did a great job. I mean, they played more than I think any of us expected, and they played very well too. So we were able to stay aggressive with them. We backed off in certain games and put it on our pass rush, and, you know, that worked out also. So You know, Pastors had a great year, and frankly, it would have been nice to see them really get after an offense with, you know, with us scoring a few more points. So I'm very pleased with the pass rush.
His name was mentioned earlier, and actually it's been mentioned all year, and that's Jordy Nelson. Mike, I saw him running the other day.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He's got to be like 6 months ahead of schedule, 7 months ahead of schedule. That's a bright outcome, I should say.
Definitely. I mean, he's in there every day. I mean, I don't think there's been a day that I've been in at the stadium that he hasn't been here. So that's Jordy, though. I mean, he's tremendous from a commitment standpoint. He looks great, and we expect him to be better than ever.
I know you don't delve into the free agency thing, but Mason Crosby, 20 consecutive made kicks in the postseason for field goals, which is an NFL record, nine seasons with 100 points or more, franchise record. How valuable is he to this team, Mike?
Oh, he's very valuable.
But obviously going into a free agency year, I know
I make no bones about it. I want Mason back on our football team, and Mason's done a great job for us, and you know, I look at him as one of our core players. He's entrenched in this community, and we need to keep him here.
All right, next up, Larry and Mike on the Telestrator with Hail Mary 2. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show.
Here we go. Just like the Motown miracle, the Packers hoping for another, this one in the desert. Snap to A-Rod, looking downfield, being flushed, rolling left, winds up, rainbows it high and deep into the end zone, it's high point and it's caught! It is caught for a touchdown!
Yes!
A miracle!
Yes!
Pass.
Jeff Janis
caught in the end zone!
Can you believe it?
Unbelievable!
Believe it!
Welcome back. We're going to take a look at the Packers' second successful Hail Mary play of the season, Mike. And even though it was your second, it's kind of unlike the first, is it not? And it begins with the pressure from the Cardinals. Did that surprise you?
Well, they called a timeout, and Aaron did a great job of, you know, commanding the huddle and just alerting everybody, hey, there's a good chance there's going to be pressure here. And as you can see, when they came out in their dime 32 front, that's their pressure front. So right away, you know, you see he recognizes it, so he moves James. And he also has Richard and James, or so he keeps those two in for extra protection. And they do a good job building the wall. And then with that, he sees 44 knife inside. He gets the pressure, and then he spins out to his left. And
okay, if we could stop right there, I wanted to ask you about that. It seems like Jeff Janis is kind of running under control. Is that part of the play? Or is he exhausted from playing all wide receiver and all special teams?
Well, he's exhausted, number one, because he played so many snaps, and just the fact that we're not able to take him off special teams. So just an incredible effort by Jeff. But really, Aaron's thinking here is because he knows he's going to get pressure, empty pressure, and doesn't know really which side that he's going to throw the ball to. So the communication in the huddle was for him to tell all three of them to go down to the middle. Well, obviously, I don't think any of them listening. But Jeff is just trying to keep his eyes back on Aaron, sees him roll to the left, and obviously Aaron sees Jeff with the one-on-one before he throws the ball. I mean, I can't even tell you how ridiculous of a throw that is. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a human being throw the ball in that position, let alone that far with that arc. So it's an incredible throw, great awareness to beat the pressure. And then you can see Jeff just tracking the ball. And so it's, you know, just one on two. And you're talking about Patrick Peterson right there to go up high, point the ball, incredible catch. Obviously puts the game into overtime.
Mike, did you get a good view of it? Were you concerned at all when they put it on replay?
I wasn't concerned once they showed it in the stadium, just because I just figured they had so many calls. I'll just stop right there. Somebody calls and went the other way. That we were going to be blessed with this call. But, you know, the ball didn't move. So, and you know, Jeff was clearly on the ground and the ball was knocked out late. So they definitely made the right decision.
Fantastic throw, fantastic catch, and we are going to overtime. We'll be back with more of the Mike McCarthy Show in just a moment.
And welcome back to the Mike McCarthy Show. Each week we ask for your opinion on Twitter. This week, Mike, player of the game, Jeff Janis. We've already shown the Hail Mary. We've talked about him a little bit on this show. But what is his upside after a game like this, do you feel?
Well, I think it's like any good young player. You know, he has to build off it, and clearly he still has things he needs to work on, and he knows that. Jeff's a very talented, very powerful young man. I mean, he's probably one of our stronger players in the weight room. So just to continue to work on the fine motor skills of the wide receiver position.
You mentioned strength, Mike, and it brings to mind a couple of your defensive linemen. One is LaTroy Guyon, and the other is Mike Pinnell. They are really stout guys, and they showed that strength against the Cardinals, didn't they?
No doubt about it. I mean, they're both very powerful men. So that's, Mike Pinnell's another young guy that I thought, made a big step this year. So, I mean, you definitely want to build off of that, and because you got to have the big guys up front. It starts up front on both sides of the ball, and I think we've, had one of our better years, or if not our best year, combination of offense and defensive line.
Not that you wanted to be thinking about this now, Mike, but Ted Thompson, as of this taping, is already like one of the first guys in the field scouting the East-West Shrine Game. What is it like to work with a GM like that that's already looking to improve your team for 2016 and the relationship you have with him of making the team even better for next year?
Well, I mean, that's Ted. I mean, Ted is very disciplined in that, and he's right on schedule, and he's going to get there early and take advantage of those opportunities. I mean, he spends a lot of time at the All-Star Games.
Mike, when can you personally close the book on this season just passed and really focus 100% on the future and talking to Ted about personnel and all that good stuff?
Well, that's a great question. We'll see. We have a full week, the first week of evaluations. We have the benefit or the blessing of coaching the Pro Bowl. I thought I'd never complain about going to Hawaii. I'm a person not looking forward to it, but we have to do that as a staff, and then once we get back from that, I guess we'll get rolling.
All right, next up, we'll put up a wrap on the 2015 season. Get you ready for 2016. You're watching the Mike McCarthy Show.
Mike McCarthy's wardrobe provided by the Haberdasher Limited, the best quality men's clothing store in Green Bay, offering suits, sportswear, and tailoring for men, 335 North Washington Street, Green Bay.
Final segment for this year on the Mike McCarthy Show, and Mike, it will be a different team next year. Is that the hardest part in the NFL, is just the unknown, and this was a special group, and now you have to move forward?
Definitely. I mean, it's... You have great admiration and appreciation for what these players go through. I don't think people realize the emotional and the mental strain, along with the physical strain, that these players put into a season. So, you try to build off of what you did the year before. Really, the off season is about building the strongest 90-man roster that you possibly can. And as a coaching staff, we need to go back through everything and try to project the vision of what we're going to look like next year.
Mike, unless you win the Super Bowl, the season comes to a screeching halt, and it's amazing the finality of it. Is it hard for you to switch gears?
Some people use the word, you have to decompress, and it's, like you said, it just comes to a screeching halt, and you go from, getting up every morning, excited to get to work, and you can't wait to get here, and you work until God knows, when. But, then that's over. And the players laugh at this, when they come back in April. But, by the time they get back, you're like, man, we missed you guys. And they're like, wow, we really miss you very much. But it's definitely different. It's a very unique business. It's a great business to be a part of. It's a very demanding business. And obviously, it can be very disappointing for 31 of the 32 teams.
Well, Mike, congratulations on a very good 2015. And I know you're looking forward to doing the Mike McCarthy Show in 2016. I know that's right first and foremost on your mind, right?
That's why you should never do comedy.
And on that note, that's the Mike McCarthy Show for 2015. Hopefully, we'll all be back in 2016. Thanks for watching.